This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Who would be a Wolves fan, eh?
On goes Paul. People might yet win it here for Wolves. Flat in the shot. What a goal!
Hello, 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 and welcome to today's episode of Wolves Fancast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. Rich Hobbs here today, and joining me on this Wednesday evening, we've got Jiffo.
Good evening.
And to preview the Newcastle game, we've hopped straight from theirs over to ours online because, you know, it's a bit of a trek if we're doing it. But well, got Matty from the Gallagate Shots. How are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing in my house?
No, but
I'm good. Thank you very much. Absolutely love that music at the start of that podcast.
It's a great, it's a great theme tune, done by a local artist called Pogman.
Pogman, big up, yeah. Pogman.
Yeah, well, I should probably do like link in the description or something. But but we're going to talk about Newcastle. We're going to talk a bit about Wolves and do a bit of a quiz at the end. So, Matty, I guess over to you first in terms of Newcastle, because I mean, we're talking. Do you sort of feel that after kind of a decent run of games earlier on this calendar year, obviously the last kind of four games haven't really gone the way you'd have wanted, but do you feel safe from relegation now? Because it was a bit tetchy first half of the season.
Well, it's always about that sort of context. Context is key because, I mean, I think I saw a stat today that if Eddie Howe started with 0 points, we would still be 4 points clear of relegation. Now, that shows you the type of job that he's done. You know, the new players have came in, made a massive, massive effect. And we went on a ridiculous run. But it sort of went on this downward turn steadily in terms of we played Southampton. We had four difficult away games. We played Southampton. We beat them 2-1. A huge result. Absolutely buzzing with that. We go to Stamford Bridge expecting a really tough game. We give as good as we got. We should have got a penalty. They should have had a man sent off. And said man goes and scores in the 88th minute. You can rightly feel aggrieved by that. So it went down in terms of it's a loss, but it puts the end of the run, but we still played well. Everton first half played well, but then second half dipped and got beat off a team who were doing terribly and weren't playing very well. And then we go to White Hart Lane last Sunday and get absolutely smashed to bits. So as much as it has been a downward turn in not just form, but performance as well. So it is a little bit worrying, but given what became before those three losses, we really need to be confident that we can stay in this division. It's not just, I don't just do it as a gimmick. People know me as a very, very pessimistic Newcastle fan. I have been my entire life. So I am still worried. We're not safe until we're safe. We've got 9 points worth of breathing space. As we speak, Everton are winning 2-1. Hopefully they'll get a draw there. But we've got it in us to just comfortably stay up. If we don't stay up from here, we've only got ourselves to blame.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of looking at it, to be honest. I think at this point in the season, it's clear that it's definitely at least three teams worse than Newcastle, and two of them are playing each other tonight. Mm-hmm. You've talked about January signings. Obviously, I'm not kind of going to go into the whole ownership side of things because we could be here all night, but
yeah,
we'll talk about the transfers that have happened from that. And have they, in terms of the impact, obviously Trippier was, I guess, probably the standout in terms of name recognition for a lot of English fans. And of course, he's been injured. But how would you rate some of the signings that have come in? Because I've seen it happen with Wolves when Fosun took over, Jafel backing up. No. You know, some of them were great, weren't they? You know, the likes of Cav joining and Roman Sais joining as well, and players like that. But then we also had a few stinkers thrown in when you're just sort of throwing stuff at one.
Teixeira.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, our signings in general have been fantastic. You know, they didn't cover themselves in any glory, the ones who did play it on Sunday, but needed the ones that were there beforehand. They've been a massive part in our upturn in form. It goes without saying. And you've mentioned a gentleman there, Kieran Trippier. Fortunately, he's injured. Hopefully, he'll be playing before the month's out. But he really brought in a lot of organisation at the back four and seemed to have an effect on games from right back, which you very rarely see. Obviously, scored goals against Everton Villa back-to-back, the latter being the 1-0 winner, both free kicks. But Dan Byrne, he's came in, fantastic organisation, local lad, passionate, big lad, clears everything up in the air for the most part. And alongside him, I'm sure, was someone who he'll like very much, Matt Target, on loan from Aston Villa. Again, a position that we've struggled to, get someone to nail down properly. We're normally putting a square peg in a round hole there. He's been great. Guimaraes, he's been bedded in very, very slowly, but he's shown quality. That goal against Southampton really sort of is the pinnacle of that quality that he's got. And then, you've got Chris Wood. And people are sort of saying £25 million for Chris Wood. It's ridiculous. It was more of just a signing to weaken a relegation rival. And has it? That's debatable because they've managed to get, is it Vekhorst from Germany, who seems a decent player. But, I mean, Chris Wood is working hard and he's playing, does the jobs he's been asked to do in a system that Eddie Howe has got him playing in. Would we rather Callum Wilson be playing there? Probably, because he's got a better eye for goal. But Chris Wood's previous seasons, his figures have been, double figures the last four. So, I could see why we signed him. It's just unfortunate he hasn't scored many goals for us. He did get the one against Southampton, and hopefully these next three games he's got a chance of scoring at St James's Park. But basically the long answer there, Richard, but all the signings have really had a good effect, but along with the manager.
Yeah, I think that's it all falls apart if a manager's not pulling it all together. And we've had it with Bruno that if they're not kind of all pointing in the same direction, it will feel like there are 11 strangers on that pitch, and it hasn't felt like that. I mean, Trippier seems to be a big loss, and he seems to have brought that leadership and that assurance that, if they're in a bit of trouble, get the ball out to him and don't, they won't panic. Yeah. So I think I'd say, in terms of that, I think the signings that have been made have been really shrewd, because it could have been easy to have got multiple players from Europe. Mm-hmm. And I think it was sort of telling that, Dan Byrne, Matty Target, Chris Wood are all Premier League. They know the league. They're all very traditional sort of staples of the league. Trippier, played his entire, career apart from the last, two seasons in this division. Mm-hmm. It's only been Guimaraes who's this son who's not really being exposed to it. Do you think next season, or do you think we're going to see a bit of a shift towards, I guess, improving it to that next level to make sure you can beat and go, for a top half position?
Yeah, well, not to put the cart before the horse. I'll always say, because I am who I am, staying up is priority number one. But I do feel there is musings and rumours in the newspapers that, we won't sign as many players or won't spend as much money as we did in January in the summer if we were to stay up. However, maybe we won't spend as much, but I can see a lot more movement. I can see six or seven players going out the door. I can see maybe just as many coming in. But like you've just said, Richard, maybe one of them's going to be your big money, £40 million signing. And then the rest are going to be shrewd loans and just improving and thickening up the squad with quality rather than just quantity. There's a plenty of players there who the shelf life at Newcastle's probably came to an end. And came to an end a good few seasons ago. You see the likes of Jeff Hendrick out on loan at QPR. Kieran Clark's not even in the squad anymore. A player who I had a lot of time for. He came into under Rafa in the Championship, and I thought, why have we signed him? Proved me wrong within a couple of seasons. I think he got Player of the Season in the Championship, did very well in the Premier League, but again, he's just stayed on too long. So the likes of him, the likes of Hendrick, even, dare I say, Jamal Lascelles, massive part of us solidifying ourselves in the Premier League, fronts up when things are going badly, a proper captain, but for me, footballing wise, he just hasn't been good enough. So I can see some players getting moved out and then getting replaced. And for me, it's that spine again. We've improved the spine in January, striker, central midfielder, centre half. I think do that again in the summer, and maybe one or two other additions and might stand us in good stead just to not be fighting relegation. That's all, I guess, the next season target is for me and most pragmatic and realistic Newcastle fans. Cup runs would be great and further up the league would be great, but this isn't, you know, going to happen overnight. If what the owners want to happen is going to happen, it's not going to happen overnight, and we'll see what happens. But for me, next season, my main aim is to not be sat here maybe talking to you hopefully next season and thinking, well, I wonder what Everton Burnley score is, you know. I just don't want that anymore.
I mean for you, would you say that you'd give up so assume you don't, but would you give up Alan Saint-Maximin to get in three or four pragmatic players who would make sure that you finish top 10?
Oh, that's a good question. Now, well, hang on. Are you saying that if we give in this bizarro universe, this parallel universe, if we give up Alan Saint-Maximin and get four players in, we're finishing in the top 10?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd probably say yes, probably right now. But I mean, that's harsh. It's a harsh question, because there's going to be half of the Newcastle fan base, if they heard this, they'd be like, oh, you hate him. Why do you hate him? I don't. I love him. He's one of the best dribblers of football I've ever seen live. He's amazing, but on his day. And we had this previous conversation with Richard. Personally, I think Alan Saint-Maximin's better than Adama Traore. Personally.
I probably agree with you.
Just think he's got a bit more about him. So, but I'm just saying, them players, you love to see them, but on the bad days, you're just so infuriated by them. If you were to guarantee me a top 10 players if we sold them, then probably snatch your hand off of him and four extra players coming in. But snatch your hand off's a bit extreme. But, you know, you can tell your question's pod liquid on the second board in my brain. But I'd say yes, that's the short answer. Yes, probably. Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, so switching to Wolves then, Matty. Yes. What have been your thoughts on so far this season? Because from my perspective, I say it feels like we've kind of gone a little bit under the radar in terms of sort of national media. But, you know, speaking with opposition fans who, you know, watch it week in, week out, what are your sort of thoughts on us this season?
Perfect way of putting it, to be honest, Richard. I think we have went under the radar a little bit. You know, granted, West Ham are doing what they've been doing. Fantastic season. They continue to have a fantastic season, still in Europe. But you have been one of the best of the rest, other than the top six teams. Still hate that saying, but I checked the Premier League table tonight, and as much as, you know, you've got losses that are in recent memory, you know, like it's not like they're like, oh, they very rarely get beat Wolves. You've got losses in recent memory, but then the teams that you should be beating if you're going to be in that top half, you've beaten them. And you've, you know, I know there was the Leeds game and stuff, and, you know, there's always exceptions, but you seem to have been able to string runs of two or three results together. Then if a loss comes along, fair enough, on to the next one, win that one, might lose, win, lose and draw. And it, you know, you're in the position to have a very, very good season yet again. You could finish sixth. It's not even a long stretch. Man United have a game in hand, but you could still definitely finish sixth if things go your way. And that has to be seen as a huge, huge success by the manager, who's inherited a squad that hasn't really been reinforced massively. A couple of shrewd signings, not to steal your word, but it's, you know, yeah, they've done very well. It's just, like you say, it's under the radar because you sort of forget about them. When they're playing the other teams and they're not playing the top six team, or you don't sort of look for Wolves' result, if that makes sense.
We're very much fifth on match of the day. Is that get described a lot? It's like, Wolves have won 2-1 today.
Yeah.
We did that last week and the week before.
It is strange because I don't think you, I could be corrected here, but I don't think you're hammering teams either.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Not really.
The teams that you're gonna beat, you'll beat them 2-0 to St James's Park. The reverse fixture at Molineux, 1-0, 1-1, 2-1. You know, nothing outstanding. You haven't smashed a poor Newcastle side, but it doesn't matter. You've got 3 points. And if you've done that a lot through the course of the season, it's going to put you in good stead, which it has. So that's probably why you've went under the radar. It's nothing crazy, but it's just been efficient, if that's the right word. And you've said about Bruno Lage not being able to implement his style of football, but it seems to be putting him in a good position the way he's been playing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, that's completely agree. Jeffo, do you think we talked about Friday night games have the opportunity to make or break your weekend? And we had that against Leeds a couple of weeks back. And I think it felt like the atmosphere from losing to Leeds pretty much up until we played Villa just the mood around Wolverhampton was just low. Do you think the positivity's back?
Well, you couldn't pick a better result, could you, against Villa to lift every the mood back up. But yeah, that Leeds game, that just sucked all the energy out of all the fans. And it was just the matter of that loss that and the way that it happened. It just absolutely, you know, sucked. It felt like the season was over. It was finished. But it's not to sound dramatic or anything, but it just felt like, you know.
To go from up here this isn't insulting, but calamitously. It was a collapse. I'm no stranger to a collapse as a Newcastle supporter. But usually it's just the defence goes to sixes and sevens and it's a couple of 1-2s they're in and they've scored. But them goals where it hit the bar and it hit the crossbar and then it's in the air and Willy Bolly's just having a sandwich in the middle of the box and I was just like, what is going on here? And then we were watching at the pub and for that to happen just because of, it seemed, your striker getting sent off. It was crazy.
We lost our heads, we really did, and then we lost all that game control, which, as you know, you're saying, we've gone under the radar because we've been pragmatic in defence, and that just, everything seems to go out the window, and like you say, lost our heads, Willy Bolly, okay, could be accused of doing that in the past and being a little bit too lackadaisical, but people like Cody and maybe Sets to a degree, shouldn't be doing things like that. They should be in control of the game, they should be seeing that match out like Arsenal did to it against us when Arsenal went down to 10. We should be controlling the game because, like you said, we've done well against teams in the bottom half of the table. And that's where we've struggled in the past. But this season, we've done well with that and we kind of showed more Nuno-style football in that game and those things that were bad about Nuno. Kind of crept back in just for that Leeds match, which was kind of disappointing.
Yeah, some of the bad habits that I thought we kind of knocked out the system. My question to both of you, I mean, I've got someone who's biased and someone who's unbiased on. Do you think there's still a chance we're making Europe this season? Jiffo, we'll go with you first.
I think there's a good chance we could finish seventh. I think we could pick West Ham because I think if they go deeper and deeper into Europa League, they might put all their eggs in one basket. And I think we could get seventh. And then that depends on who wins the FA Cup, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So
it gets into 50-50 territory, doesn't it, in terms of...
So if you finish seventh and you need a top team, like an already qualified team to win the FA Cup...
Yeah, yes, that's already the last time we finished seventh.
And would that get you conference or would it get you...
I believe it's conference.
Yeah, it's conference now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd take that.
Where all the cool kids play football, man.
Yeah. Like we've said before, we'd happily take, you know, a trip out to Finland.
Mm.
Bring it on. You know, it's one of them. Like, if you qualify for Europe, you can't turn it down. Like, how often do you get the opportunity? And, you know, you will go some backwater, you know, playing, I don't know, Tallinn FC over in Estonia or whatever, but you know what, we'll be up for it, and if it breeds a bit of opportunity and a bit of chance, then we'll take it. I think we might have just missed the boat to really kind of get to sixth, which I think is a real shame, because there was a point where it was on the cards, and I think it was in March where we had Spurs, we had Leicester, we had Arsenal twice, and we had West Ham. And we got a decent amount of points that we beat Leicester and we beat Spurs, but we were almost better off just drawing those games and spreading the points, because it just meant Arsenal got 6 points on us and they literally just jumped over us, which was, you know, when you look back on it, it's going to be those where we can't go.
Yeah.
That's you if only's.
Our season, if we don't get European football, will be defined by the two Arsenal games of the West Ham match and the first three games of the season where we lost 1-0. I think there will be the two periods, and we'll look back on it and go, we should have done a little bit better.
Yeah, as I say, only a few more games to sort of find out. We're going to take a short break, guys. Afterwards, we're going to talk about the game on Friday night and do a bit of a quiz. We'll be back right after this.
Pause.
Hi, it's Richard from Wolves Fancast here. Just interrupting today's show before we get back to some questionable opinions and opinionated questions to talk to you a little bit about our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media. They are a design agency that put you and your business first, from web design, logo and branding design and marketing. If you have any marketing needs, get in touch with them to find out how they can help you get it right. They are over at pixelyetimedia.com. Now let's get back to a show where we can give you some really forced wordplay, niche cultural references, and maybe even a bit of football talk. Hello and welcome back, everybody. Big shout out to everyone who's watching live on YouTube at the moment. Quick comment brought up by regular commentator Danny. Fourth may have gone, but wouldn't be surprised to see Spurs or Man United dropping points as well, and likewise with West Ham as well. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to sort of see how some of those other teams can manage it out. In terms of the game on Friday night, though, Matty, we were saying on your show, Gallagher Shots, go check them out, guys. This is a very evenly matched game historically.
Yes, I think I said, yeah, that for five, the 2-1 earlier in the season stopped a run of 5-1-1 draws, 5-1-1 draws. And then, you know, both teams have scored in the last seven, which is pretty crazy. They've not normally been tight affairs as well. You know, but I think, you know, even in the championship, you know, I think you guys won 2-0 and we won 1-0. It's not been a very high scoring game in historically. But yeah, it's been very evenly matched. There's been times where yous have took the lead, we've equalised, we've took the lead, you've equalised. I think that's probably the biggest trend, to be honest. A lot of the home games, and even one, I remember Miguel Almiron scoring at Molineux early on before Dendonk equalised. Yeah, it just seems to, you know, we like to score early. I remember Isaac Hayden, Willy Bolly at the death, which was ironically Almiron's debut, that actually, ironically. Yeah, it is a very evenly matched fixture, even when I think a lot of the times you've been up at the right end of the table and we've been at the bottom end of the table. So, I mean, we've spoke about this and not put things too far ahead, but or get into predictions, but I would take a 1-1 draw if history was to be kind again.
Yeah, it seems to be very much a trend looking at it in our Premier League years with yourselves. Jiffo, pulling back to, I guess, the reverse fixture, beating them 2-1. It was the first time we kind of really got to see what Hwang was all about in terms of his brace. And I guess my question is, do you think he's likely to start for Wolves on Friday night and hopefully get on the score sheet again? Because it's been a good while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think he stands a chance of being selected. I think going on the last two games, I think Trincao is probably going to be undroppable. Because he's playing really, really well now. But so that's the question: is you going to play a front three of Silva, Hwang, and Trincao? It's a possibility. It depends how he thinks that Newcastle are going to line up. If they're going to pack the midfield, then it's likely that Trincao will probably tuck in like he has with Moutinho and Ndonka. It'd be unlikely that we'd see Silva and Hwang up front. I think you'd probably more likely see Silva and Pedence, and we'll keep the same sort of lineup as Villa.
Yeah, so I mean, sort of talking lineups and danger men as well. So I've pulled up the lineups from the games at the weekend. Matty, for you, who are your danger men that you think Wolves should be looking out for from the Newcastle side of things first and foremost?
It's an interesting one because, I mean, if that starting 11 on Sunday, I was very happy with it. It was good to see John Joe Shelley back. He certainly had his ups and downs at Newcastle, but he seems to be playing some of his better football under Eddie Howe. And in this midfield, like, sort of partnership, if you will, with, you know, like Sir Joe Willock, and we've said about Joe Linton, wow, what a turnaround by him. Like, £40 million striker, flop, handed the number 9 shirt, never scored hardly any goals. Callum Wilson comes in, takes the number 9 shirt in his second season, gives Joe Linton the 7, and when Eddie Howe comes in, he must have just saw something and thought, plonk him in the midfield. He's physical, he can tackle, his touch isn't too bad, and he can, you know, he can just mop things up. So he's been a huge part of our upturn in form. Joe Willock's probably going to be injured for Friday, so you will probably see Guimaraes starting. Just watching him from a neutral perspective, I think you'll be able to tell that he's a very, very good footballer, first and foremost. Very good. He's still probably bedding in the Premier League, but he's definitely shown that he's got the ability to be fine in the Premier League and show what he can do. But it's a strange one because that starting 11, or if you that starting 11 with Guimaraes instead of Willock, it's the organisation Eddie Howe's brought, and I'm saying this on the back of capitulating in a second half where the defence just went to rat shit and we conceded four goals in the space of about 20 minutes. But other than that, we've looked very, very just well-drilled. And if we continue that, that's for me our, you know, our foundation for getting a good result. Not just being hard to break down, but having a game plan on how to, you know, get at you where Eddie Howe thinks the weaknesses are. I'm not sure where they're at. But for me, if the obvious threats are the likes of Alan Saint-Maximin, depending on how he is on the day. But, I mean, Guimaraes is definitely a good passer of the ball, forward thinker. And Ryan Fraser, again, has been very good since Eddie Howe's came in. You've said yourself that Chris Wood has a history against Wolves. Hopefully, fingers crossed, to continue that on Friday, because he has only scored one goal so far for Newcastle. But, you know, maybe that's where the threat can come from, because we'll have to try and get the ball into the box from wide areas.
Yeah, I think, Chris, it's a phenomenal record he has against Wolves, isn't it?
I don't want to
put too much on it, but it honestly, I was glad he moved when he did, because it meant that we didn't have to. He didn't have to wear Burnley shirt again against us.
If he misses a penalty on Friday,
I'm going to get a text off you, Arnold.
I'm going to drive to Wolverhampton and I'm going to cause all sorts of bother.
Jaffo, who are you looking forward to seeing from a Newcastle perspective then?
I love watching Alan Saint-Maximin, so it's something that's obvious. But yeah, Bruno Guimaraes starts. I'd like to see him play because I thought he was a cracking player in Liga. I thought he looked like he's going to really offer something in the Premier League. I just, like you say, he's feeling for it at the moment, and that intensity level in the Premier League is quite different to the French League. So I think next season we'll see his best. So hopefully you'll still be in the Premier League and still be able to watch him in the black and white. Going back to the lineups for just a second, to come off track. Is he ever matched up with a team that play three centre-backs?
You've took the words out of my mouth, mate. I think he's been forced into it. There might have been one or two times where he's done it on purpose. Chelsea, we matched them. But it was more because there was Joe Willock went down with a virus. Jonjo Shelvey went down with a virus. I think Fraser was took a knock and he was on the bench, but couldn't play. So we went Cher, Dan Byrne and Lascelles. I think we played Jacob Murphy at one of the full-back positions. We have done it in the past, don't get me wrong. So it did cross my mind whether he feels like that formation's a real key to your success. Will he just bring in the three centre-halves, whether that be Byrne, Cher, Lascelles, Byrne, Cher, even Emil Kraft's played there, which I don't really like, but he might. It's an interesting one. I mean, I don't have the answer, but he certainly has played the back three when he's needed to, but sometimes wanted to in the past.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting match. I think the biggest worry we had as Wolves fans against Villa was we're playing with a two-man midfield at the moment because we have senior central midfielders and Neves is injured, so we've got two and a youngster. So we're sort of having to play the formation we're playing at the moment. So it'll be interesting to sort of see how Newcastle line up in reflection to that. Matty, who are you looking forward to seeing from a Wolves perspective then?
I mean, I always look forward to seeing Ruben Neves play, but he's not going to be playing. So it's an interesting one. It's a funny little tale about the story of young Silva up top, I feel. You know, when they spent like £40 million on him, did they not?
Yeah, it was. I think with add-ons, it's 35 and stuff
right,
like that.
Okay.
It's still an awful lot.
I was talking in euros. But that story of, it was very much something you'd sort of sign on Football Manager, like one of those regens who you spend stupid amounts of money on and then send them on loan somewhere or bring them off the bench. And, you know, I can remember the stories and the sort of discussions about him. He hadn't hit the ground running, but, I mean, he's a very, very young footballer. He's definitely got talent, and he seems to just be getting a little bit better and better. Am I wrong there? Is he seen progress, you know?
Yeah, he's improving almost game by game, it feels like.
So it's an interesting story. It's a strange one. I really like Johnny. I don't know why. Wasn't there a spell where, was it last season or maybe this season, I'm not sure, where he spent the time on the sidelines and then when he came back, got things moving again?
Yeah, so he tore his ACL, came back after 9 months, played 3 games, then tore it again. But for those 4 games, he just completely lifted the team. And he's come back now and played, I think, 4 games. And again, completely lifted us. It feels like he's never been away. Two goals in 2 games after getting 2 goals in, I think, the last 99 or something silly.
Oh, well, we'll hope it's not 3 in the row, but anyway, wipe that one of the carpet. Moutinho as well. I was doing, do you know, like that, do you know Wordle, that craze that's Twitter? There's obviously the football one, there's a bunch of different football ones, and the other day it was like, oh, he's Portuguese, I got that right. And then he was in the Premier League, I got that right, but then everything else was wrong. And then it was like, he's older than 26, he's older than 28, he's older than 32, he's older than 34. And I was like, how old is João Moutinho? He's like 35, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's still doing what he's doing. And do you see that, like, would you call him immobile? Would you say he's still not running around as much? Or do you see him fit as a fiddle?
I think we would have said that last year, but this season he's like he's a phoenix. He's been reborn through the fire. It's crazy, honestly. He covered every blade of grass against Villa last week, and he just seems to, I don't know what he eats, what he drinks, what he does in his spare time, but whatever he needs to keep doing it, because he will go on and on forever.
Yeah,
doesn't slow down.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like he's stopping anytime soon. Dreaded score predictions time, guys. Matty, do you want to go first?
Easy, 1-1.
Yeah.
Both. Normally, I do the whole, my heart says this, but my head says this, and I'll say what my head thinks, and I'll say, but my heart says we might be able to scrape this. I genuinely think my head and my heart, because my heart would like a point, and my head would also think, given previous form, it might be 1-1 as well. You know, I mean, I know it was 2-1 at Molineux, but I think St. James's Park, the atmosphere is going to be great. I think one chance that you guys have of turning that on its head is if, you know, you keep the ball for the first 15 minutes, which is totally, you know, it's not above the realms of possibility. But I just feel like we've always got that, you know, that ace up the sleeve with the crowd. If something happens, get us going. And hopefully that gives the players what they need to get some sort of result off the back of these 4 away fixtures. Granted, 4 away fixtures that I said I would have took 3 points out of. But unfortunately, it's happened 3 points, then 3 losses. So hopefully we can just get back on track, get some points on the board. A win would be absolutely fantastic. It wouldn't do great for my liver on the Friday night. But a point is a point and a valuable one at that against a very good Wolves side. So I'll take 1-1.
Javon, how about you?
I kind of predicted it a couple of weeks ago. I predicted a 1-0 loss a few weeks ago with Stu, but I'm changing it to a 2-0 win now. I can't be negative, can I?
No,
it's dead easy, you know.
I don't want to be
dead easy to be negative. You're never disappointed if you're negative.
Well, I've got to stick what I said on your show, and I'm going to go for 1-1 just because it feels like history dictates it. But we're going to finish off the show with a very quick quiz, guys, as I get to pull up a lovely graphic. So it's quite easy. It's not a, you know, who scored the winning goal when Wolves played Newcastle or anything like that. So it's just Wolves or Newcastle. So this season, which of us has averaged more shots per game, Newcastle or Wolves?
Unless this is a trick question, it has to be Wolves.
I thought it would have been us going off the start of the season.
It's actually Newcastle.
Eddie Howe is doing bits, man.
Yeah, Newcastle have averaged 12, Wolves 10.7.
Mate, if you'd have took that first 8 games of the season, it's negative shots. Like, it's literally minus two.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
So, next up, Ariel Jules won per game.
Oh, God, it's stat-based questions.
I know, but don't have to worry, because literally, it's a 50-50.
Yeah, but still. I'm probably going to say Newcastle purely because even before we brought in Chris Wood and Dan Byrne, I was like, all we were was doing humping balls long, and you know, Joe Linton still wins the odd aerial duel, the cells. So I'm going to say Newcastle.
Yeah, I'll go Wolves with this one.
It's Newcastle. It was like 18.2 to 13 a game.
18.2 to 13.
It was a big amount of aerial duels won. Dan Byrne is earning his keep at the moment. Now I thought this one was an interesting one to do because we've had Traore, you've got ASM. Ooh. Dribbles per game.
This is all down to what the rest of our squad have done. But I'm sure I saw, it might have been our friends of the 90 Minutes Parish who tweeted at like a league table, and Alan Saint-Maximin was like ridiculously ahead, like, of any player. So whether that's enough for us to win it, I'm not sure, but I'll stick with ASM and say Newcastle.
Okay, I'll just go the opposite. I'll go Wolves again because of Podence and Trincao.
It was Wolves, but it was close. So it was 11.9 to 9.2 on average. Right, so we got two more left. Interceptions per game. Now, this is the team, in you know, which team has intercepted the ball more rather than just who's lost the ball the most times, you know what I mean? So who's been better defensively at picking off the ball?
I'm saying Wolves. I think we've done this a lot better since Eddie House came in. I think Joe Linton must have a decent amount of interceptions in him. Our midfielders in general must do, but I'm going to go Wolves.
Yeah, I'm actually going to swap a good Newcastle because I'm going to be higher on. I think we're going to be higher on tackles and clearances, to be honest.
Yeah, it was Wolves. Surprising. I was going to say surprise on that one. And
you keeping score here, Richard? Are you keeping score? What?
Nope, I'm just going through it. I really should have, because I feel like you're about equaling on the last one, to be fair. So we'll do a winner takes all on the last one, which, bearing in mind, you have had Steve Bruce as a manager for a significant part of the season. Long balls per game.
I don't know if you've just tried to sort of trick me there, you know, because I mean, Steve Bruce was there for eight, nine games.
Yeah.
Graham Jones for the next two. Probably was still long balls. Like, screw it. Let's go Newcastle.
Oh, God, for the content, you've got to go opposite. Go Wolves. Cody and Neves, come on, please.
It was basically down to Cody and Neves because it's actually Wolves.
Wow.
Again, I guess it's more accurate long balls we'll go for. But thought we'd end it on a bit of that. But
well, how about I give you a quiz question?
Okay.
And I'll give you a positive one instead. And I don't normally do this, but who? Newcastle, Wolves, Championship, what, 4 or 5 years ago? 5 years ago? 2-0, St. James's Park, Chancellor and Bembo own goal. Who scored the second goal for you guys in a 2-0 win?
I know this. No, I don't, do I? Was it John Daddy?
No.
I feel like it might be.
No, it was. Was it Helder Costa then?
It was Helder Costa.
Costa.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't have got two guesses there. You broke the game. Pointed you four.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, because Helder Costa scored a lot of goals like that.
I think it was a very good goal as well, to be honest. Yeah. I remember it was a very sunny day, and it was at the time where people told me Rafa wouldn't get us out of the Championship.
I was going to say, I think that was we were under the Walter Zenger era at that point of Wolves, which was an interesting time as a fan.
Yeah, I feel like the reverse fixture. I feel like Prince Onyanga scored in the reverse game.
Yeah,
you would have been wrong. You would have been
like
wrong.
That, yeah.
I know that reverse fixture off by heart. It was a 1-0 win for Newcastle, and a certain Mr. Alexander Mitrovic scored. He was trying to fight everyone, and Rafa hooked him at half time. So, like, he scored in the first half, put us 1-0 up. I think he got booked, and then Rafa was, like, get off the pitch. Oh, yeah. You're trying to fight.
Yeah, because he nearly got the set. Like, there was another, I think he, like, ran into the goalkeeper after already getting booked. Which
I think Rafa just thought, you know, I'm not having this. And we held on for dear life in the second half as well. I remember John Goodman was fucking talking bollocks or something. Mm-hmm. Like, he was do you guys love John Goodman? Is he just like sort of nothing, because like
Goodman used to play for Wolves, but he's not.
He was just talking stupidness and just proper wanting Wolves to equalise. But anyway, we got the result. But yeah, I remember that game well. But it was just so funny, Mitrovic going off at the halftime. We'll see what he does in the Premier League next season.
I was going to say, that'll come around sooner rather than later, whether we'll end up actually doing something at this level or, you know,
we'll see.
Keeping the second tier. But we'll wrap up the show there for today, guys. Big thanks to everyone who's joined us. Shout outs to Pixel Yeti Media and 90 Min as always. Matty, do you want to do a quick plug for yourselves?
Yes, I mean, I know I'm talking to a lot of Wolves fans, so I know you don't want loads of Newcastle United content. I've just done a lovely one with Richard from your parish. He's done a lovely preview of this weekend's game. But Gallagher Shots, at Gallagher Shots on Gallo, that's Gallo Gate Shots on Twitter. Follow me, Matty S90, just for general talk about nothing. I just talk about Newcastle. I'm all about Newcastle. Sometimes talk about wrestling, if that's your bag.
You've potentially come to the right area for this then.
I'm a massive nerd, but I also love other things as well. So, you know, just let's all just talk, man, but don't be nasty. Hey, man, love each other, but if just don't be a dickhead. That's all I would say. Yeah. That's my religion.
We're happy with that. Join me and Jafo and some of you guys on Saturday for our review of said Newcastle game. Hopefully it will end in Jafo's prediction. So so it'll be goodbye from Jafo.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Matty.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me. See you next time.